I think that is my sermon, is the title, Amen. That's about it. Yeah, for those of you that thought, what the heck was going on this morning, please chat to me. It's not to be funny, it's not to be weird, and we're not all New Age or hippies, but we are in love with God, and we want to move with Him. So, it doesn't help if I ramble off and we go on with our formalities, if 60% of us are really hurting in our hearts. And sometimes God just comes and He just pushes His finger on that button. I need it, you need it, and if we shout authentic church, real family, then we ought to be it. So that's just, quite frankly, the heart of it. But yeah, we've been speaking about prayer. I've been speaking about prayer for about four weeks. In between, we had one or two other services. And this is just, for this series, the final sermon, or would have been the final sermon. It is, luckily for you, mostly divided up in testimonies. There's five people that's going to share some real-life testimonies. I had a guy, a friend of mine, Yuchu. He's quite a short fellow, and he was a great friend of mine in Malmesbury. So every rugby game of the Stormers or the Boks, I would go watch at his house. And I'll have a coffee key, and we'll have a chat, and we many a times would go into prayer. And many evenings I'd ask Edna, can I go be Yuchu draai gaan maak? It's almost like asking your mother, can ek by die seentjie gaan speel langsaan? It was really much like that. And in the tough times, me and him got to know each other predominantly through prayer. So we'll just go and we'll just park off and say, Lord, what do you want to say tonight? What is on your heart? Either I had a burden and we started to pray about it, or likewise him, or we just sat in God's presence and just trust God to speak prophetically to both of us and into our families and into our situations and lives. And I got to actually miss that. I didn't realize how awesome that was when I got here, and how much I actually needed it. So when I'm talking about prayer, it's not a case of jy moet bid. I love that song, Lees Your Bible, Bid Elke Dag, because I believe in that is a massive key to life. But yet, I can't come in here and say for 5 weeks in a row, bid, because I can promise you, you're going to bid less. You're certainly going to pray less. If I tell you to have, you have to. But I like what David said in Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. Now, I don't want to take it out of context, but I believe it's also true about prayer. It's just communicating with God, chatting, mixing it up, connecting with Him as a holy God, but also as a father and a friend in Christ, to connect with Him and to taste. So that's what we've been saying. It's not, jy moet bid, bid, type of thing. It is saying, just taste, just have a bite, just taste of a lifestyle of daily prayer, not just at church, not just at cell, not just 5 seconds here and 5 minutes there as you put it out, not just quickly to feel better, but because it is awesome to spend time with the Lord. Now my friend Yuchu just popped in, he came for a surf and he knocked on the door and he came yesterday. I was also actually babysitting, where's Francisco? Edna was out and I was babysitting. And getting them to sleep, getting the two little ladies to sleep during the day is not that easy. Long story short, he came in and within seconds, Sophia said, Nach. And I knew, okay, well, this is my moment. I grabbed the bottle, put it down, and she was gone. And it hasn't happened like that for quite a while, with me at least. Sorry.
Sorry.
With me at least, so it was still a miracle in my books. Moments later, looked forward, there was Frida passed out in front of the TV. Now, what is this? For you that don't have children, you might not understand, but this was gold. This was a golden opportunity. Both kids asleep within 10 minutes, and it's two guys there. So I didn't crack open a beer, and we didn't watch rugby, but I said to him, "Jealous a bit," and he says, "Yo." And we just started to pray, and God just blessed us, and we just blessed the Lord with what. And there was stuff that I shared and was accountable. And we just had, I went to go look for pictures about a table, a feast, a table that you can sit down and feast on various amazing foods. But I couldn't get it something that gave a good picture to what I experienced yesterday. But that table at the back, if you've got a sweet tooth, is probably quite close to it. But we had a feast for about an hour just with God. And that is prayer to me. Not always. Sometimes it is for absolute survival. Wisdom, saying, God, help. But that was just having a feast. And that's what I'm just putting out there. And say, hey, guys, you can actually have a feast in prayer. Taste and know that the Lord is good. It was so good for me just to see how God orchestrated the whole thing. The two little girls fell asleep and I was able to pray with them. We're ending off today. We've been going through the Our Father, and I'm not going to summarize everything because I believe the heart of it is to listen to some real life testimonies. But at the end, the one part that we have not dealt with yet is verse 13. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And by that time, many people are probably long gone already if you've been saying it up like a rhyme. But luckily for us, it's not the case. It's just, for me, evident of the real life battle that there is daily, a spiritual battle in our lives. I believe Edna's going to share a testimony which fits in quite well. Now, just on temptation, well, firstly, lead us not into does not mean God is trying to trick us. You know, when they set up an exam paper where they explicitly want to try to trick you, that is not what he's up to. That's not his heart. It's more not a case of lead me not into, but it's more a case of, Lord, permit not this massive challenge in my life. And on the word temptation, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but in the Greek, you can go read it. A closer version to that in English would be trials. Temptation, immediately the guys would think, oh, lust, definitely. Yeah, there should be a box for that in every prayer, most guys would think. But it's not, the temptation is not per se sexual. It is much more than that. We can look at the word trials. It's up there if you can just go back probably one slide. Go forward two slides, I think. Trials. In other words, Lord, lead us not into temptation, being sufferings which try or test us, or temptations, allurement, etc. God, please keep us from adversity. Save us from adversity. Just to confirm that God does not lead us into temptation, James 1 verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So there, you've got it. I'm going to skip the rest. We've gone through the Lord's Prayer. It was catching the heart that is important. It's not catching a formula. It's not catching, yes, discipline is great. It's not saying, hey guys, have discipline. Even discipline in my life, yes, there is a bit here and there, comes from a heart condition. Either I get to a place from, yalla kan iso anghani, and a discipline gets born, or nee gits, ek kan nie so vreet nie, and a discipline gets born. A discipline of prayer, and discipline is even a harsh word, but a lifestyle of prayer gets born out of a heart's revelation, a heart's hunger, a heart's thirst. Well, that's what we trust in God for. Taste and know that the Lord is good. There's five people that's tasted that in various areas, various prayers in their lives, and I know all of you have. That's just the people on my heart. It's going to share a testimony on day-to-day power prayer in their lives. Edna, sal jy gou met ons gesels.
Running after the kids makes me thirsty. So I'm really honored to share with you this morning. Just because prayer is such a powerful thing, and it's a spirit thing, that's what's so awesome for me. It's a spirit thing, it's not always something that our minds need to be part of, and that's what makes it good for me, because even sometimes when I don't know why I'm praying or what I'm praying for, the Spirit will help me. And in this, specifically in this testimony, that was the case. We just have to make ourselves available and say, God, I want to be a prayer instrument for you. I was going through a stage in my life where I really seeked God about my husband. It was coincidentally the time I met Retief. So I was like, Lord, I need to know. And he just took me through this whole thing where I just realized it doesn't matter anymore. I've got Jesus. I was so in love with him. And I still am, but I mean, in that time, I was just like, whoa. And I told God, like one night I was lying on my bed, I'm like, you can wake me up whenever you want. I'll pray for everything. I'll just do anything you tell me. And that night, I got a dream and I had to seriously pray for someone. And this testimony is not the same one, but it's basically the same. And it was in that time where I really asked God, I want him to use me. I want to be there for him. So all of our friends, Retief's friends and my friends, were all friends. And that's how we got to know each other as well. And they were all going away on a weekend. And I really wanted to go because we were friends and I kind of liked him and he liked me. But at that stage, he wasn't fully committed to the Lord. And I knew that I couldn't go into a relationship with someone who didn't completely give their hearts to God. There was still a battle for his salvation, and I was really interceding for him to really meet with God. And so they all went away on a weekend, and God clearly told me, no, you're not going. And I was like, oh, okay, it's fine, I'm not going. And everyone was kind of mad at me, but it's fine, I'm being obedient. And in that same time, it was tar track. Shofar had a tar track where cyclists went around the country praying and doing meetings with people. And so it was an intercession thing, and they had legs that people rode. And one of my friends did this tar track, and she specifically asked me to pray for her, and I said, yes, I'll be in one of your slots. And this Friday or Saturday, Friday night, I was on the time from 12 to 1 in the morning. And I was like, okay, I'll do this sacrificially, it's awesome. But I was really tired. I remember sitting there and I was like, okay, I really have to pray in tongues now because there's nothing left of me. So I started praying in tongues. And this is what's so amazing of this whole thing. Number one, I was obedient to God and not going to this weekend. Otherwise, I would not have been there and available. And the other thing was that I was willing, but my flesh was weak. And that's where the Spirit came and completely took over. Romans 8 verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf. So now I was praying in tongues, and I know I have to pray for my friend on a bicycle so that nothing weird happens and she's safe and everything. And so what I wanted to add is I was positioned for God to use me. I was positioned. I was obedient, not by my goodness, but by his goodness, and I was open for the Spirit to come and pray through me. And so I was praying, now I have to pray for this girl on a bicycle, and I keep praying for the driver. Keep praying, God, please hold the driver, hold the driver. And I'm like, now I'm tired, and I know the Spirit is doing something, but I'm like, okay, I'm just praying what I'm praying now. And then I have to pray for the traction of the wheels on the road. And I'm like, is she going to ride faster on a bicycle or what? And so my head is not understanding what I'm praying, but I'm praying. And I feel I have to push in. Because sometimes when you feel stuff and it's like a burden, you have to actually pray through it until there's a release. And I was praying until I felt a release. And then I was, okay, my time is up. I'm going to bed now, sleep. And now the next day, I get a phone call from my friends that were away with Retief now. And they say, no, Retief and our other friend was in a car accident. And I'm like, yo, okay. And so what happened, they went out late the night. They were all caring. Like I said, he was still working out his salvation. And I was praying really hard for him. So praise God for this. So at that stage, there was a battle for his salvation. This really tied the knot. It was the clincher. But he was in an accident. And the thing is, just before they went, they were in a bucky. Just before they went, there was a guy on the back of the bucky. And he supernaturally, miraculously decided to get off. Just as they were driving, he got off. That's miracle number one. The second thing is, moments before they had an accident, the friend actually said, hey, let's just put on our seatbelts. And they put on their seatbelts. And then what happened was, it was raining, and they went around the corner there by Grootbrug. There's a little bridge and a turn. And they skid on the road, and the car flipped over like those poles with a bin. The car flipped over that thing, hit that, flipped over, and that pole from the bin actually came through here by Retief's head. If he wasn't in a seatbelt, he would have been through. And the other thing is, that was really a miracle that it didn't actually hit him. So they rolled over that and into the dam or the river thingy like this. And they just sat there, and both of them were like, thank you, God. And they just knew. Yeah, they were completely sober. They were just like, oh. And they knew, like they knew that was God that saved them. So that I got that news, and I just knew, whoa, this was God moving. And I didn't know what I was praying, but God knew. And I just had to be there. I just had to be a vessel. And God answered prayer, not because of my goodness, but because of his goodness. And he knew it was not his time. He knew that he had to marry me. So I needed him as my husband. So I had to pray. And that's just God's grace. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Thanks for praying. Next on my list, let me quickly see. There was actually... Stephen,
jy moes nou daai gesê het, Petrie. This is going distracted. No, it's not something just came to my heart when Retief asked me. I was like, Lord, what was I speak about? And it was actually a testimony about Malmesbury. It was about probably my second or first year, somewhere there. We went to Malmesbury the one evening, and it was a church service. One of the pastors of Stellenbosch was preaching there. And then we were standing in the back, and our function is to pray for the people in the church to get saved. Because it was an outreach service. Then the Lord showed me a specific person sitting in the church, and I saw this fountain coming out from inside of him, and it's just like this continuous water flowing. And I just started to pray for his salvation, praying for him, and then at the end he went forward and he gave his life to the Lord. And then that exact same thing happened again at Stellenbosch. I can't remember exactly when the Lord showed me someone in the service. Again, the fountain came up, and I praying, and then he gave his heart to the Lord. I watched him continuously from behind. Not that I'm watching people, but stalker. But then he went forward as well and gave his heart to the Lord again. And just my heart with this testimony is just to challenge you why we come to church, whether we come to church for ourselves or do we come to church for Pietri, or to pray for the sound when it doesn't want to work like for the guitar. And there are quite a few things, and I need to remind myself as well about this. And it's different things. The Lord shows me things about people in church, and the 95% of the time they will never know, like, that somebody's praying for them for something specific, what they're struggling with. And the greatest gift and calling, let's just say the greatest gift on my life, is that I can hear God's voice. And the reason why I can hear God's voice is because of prayer. So if you're struggling to hear God's voice, if there's anybody like this here, you need to pray, because that's where you learn to hear God's voice. So I'm just going to... Father, just thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy, Lord, that you want a living relationship with us. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd give us a heart of prayer. Just a heart to know you, to want to speak to you and to connect with you, Father, fully and intimately, Lord. That we can hear your voice and partner with you, Lord. And that we can lay our lives down for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just as Emmy comes up and to come and share a prayer testimony, thanks, Stephen. That just helps us a lot. Oh, not helps us a lot. God's Spirit helps us a lot in prayer. Like Edna also said, is to know what to pray. I had just a quick testimony that came to mind in this week. Kan jullie die ding net so klein bietjie sagter stel? Sorry. Ons is bless. Dankie. En excuse Peter. In this week, Edna SMS'd me one morning. I was busy, and she said, "Here's a number of somebody in our church. This person wants to see you quite urgently." And immediately, I must be honest. You think, "Ugh, gata patata, what is it? It's probably not good news. They'd like to see you today. Here's the number. I've got the person's email, but here's the number. Phone them and make an appointment." And I'm like, "Oh," immediately it's like, "Oh, yere, what is going on?" Now, long story short, I make an arrangement. I say, "Okay, I'll meet you in an hour," not saying what it is or what it is about. And I'm like, "Okay, yere, what now?" So, praise God. In prayer, you can just go to God, because why do you go to God? He knows. And immediately I start praying, and I think the worst. So if you're a pastor and somebody urgently wants to see, it's either death, sickness, major financial issues, etc. It's very often that they phone you last, or you're the last one that hears about the breakthrough. You're not the first one. You're maybe the first one to hear about the calamity and the prayer request and the need, but not necessarily the first one to hear about the breakthrough or the new car or the job or the money or whatever. So, I think the worst. Sorry, Lord, forgive me. And if you guys have breakthrough, phone me first now. Let's just change this thing. And I just go to God, and I just hear, I think it was Luke 11:23. Oof, in my spirit. Go and read it. Those who are not for me are against me, and if you don't gather with me, you scatter. In other words, it talks about a house divided cannot stand. I'm like, "Lord, this does not, how do I put this in with death or sickness or financial issues?" And I can't. Long story short, I just start praying around that. I know nothing about it. I go to the person, we have a chat, and I explain the situation. And what is it about? It's about disunity. And it's about a certain place where there's not unity and there's a bit of a problem. And I'm like, "You have no clue, but this is what God gave me an hour back. It's this verse." And for them, it was a massive key in how to resolve this issue. So, I shouldn't have thought the worst, and secondly, trust God, He knows. And in that case, by His grace, He just gave me scripture that clearly was an answer, or then at least a clear indication that He knows about the problem and He's got the wisdom to deal with it. So trust God in prayer. And it doesn't necessarily come, I can it for a clip here, but it comes in relationship. I think Stephen said it. Day to day, just spending time with Him. Getting to know Him. He'll tell you things about your wife and your children, about your family, about your boss, about those on the road, about your neighbors that you need to know to be a blessing unto them and to you, to see life and life in abundance. He's a good God.
Good morning. Just want to testify about the power of prayer. There's a verse in Bible, Hebrew 12, verse 14, says that make effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without it, no one will see God. There's a part of that, like, make effort to live in peace with everyone. Pursue peace with everyone. I remember a few years ago, there was one person that I wasn't in the good terms. It was my dad for like 5 years. And I remember when my brother decided to live with his then girlfriend. She was his girlfriend, but now they married. So my brother had to kick me out of the house. And it was the following day I had to write exam. So I failed that exam, and then I didn't have a place to stay. I remember that Pietri and Morne, they gave me a place to stay for like 2 months, I think, before you get married. I think it was 2 months. Thank you for that. Yeah. really, I didn't have a place to stay, but they gave me a place to stay. Thank you for your hospitality. And then after that, my dad was very angry with my brother for kicking me out of the place, and also he was also very angry that I failed my exam. And then after 2 months, I had to move back to look for a place because Morne moved to Cape Town. Pietri got married, and then I had to go and stay somewhere else. I rented a place in Woodstock. And then I stayed there for a year, and then I have to move back with my brother because my brother didn't have someone to rent a room in the place where he was staying. So I had to go back and live with my brother. My dad didn't understand why I have to go back and live with my brother who did something bad to me, like kicking me out of the house and everything. But I told my dad, I'm a Christian. Must have peace. Pursue peace with everyone, no matter what, even if someone does something bad to me. Sometimes it's hard to forgive and forget, but I always make effort to live in peace with everyone. And then my dad couldn't understand that. And I remember that also my dad disowned my brother. They, like since 2009, they don't talk to each other. They don't see each other. My dad doesn't even want to hear about me talking about my brother. So, and then I tried to explain everything to my dad, saying, Dad, you must remember he's your son. And then you must also know that he needs you. You also have to play part in his life. But my dad doesn't even understand about that. He's not a Christian. I try everything, but he doesn't want to change. So when I went to stay with my brother, to share a place with my brother, my dad also disowned me. He told me, you are like your brother. So I don't want to talk. I remember the last SMS he sent me was like, from now, it's over. And then he... I try everything. On every Father's Day, I used to send my dad SMS, say, Happy Father's Day, Dad. New Year, Happy New Year, Dad, and everything. Try to call my dad, send people to talk to my dad that I want a relationship with my dad because I didn't do anything wrong. And then I also explained to him that if he has a problem with my brother, he must not involve me in those problems. And I told him that I want a relationship with him. But my dad didn't care. Every person that I sent to him to try to explain, to try to help us to reconcile, just say no. So I prayed about 5 years so that the relationship... Sometimes we pray and then something happens like the same day, the following day, in 2 weeks, but it took me 5 years for reconciliation between my dad and I. It took me about 5 years. I prayed, Pastor Tien's prayed with me. Sam is now in Shofar, Debenville. He prayed with me. I cried a lot. I cannot count how many nights I cried and prayed about that. Because for me, I didn't have a peace because there was someone that we were not in a good terms, my dad. It's not that I needed something from my dad, but I wanted a relationship that I can have dad, I can talk to, I can phone. And I prayed, it took me 5 years. And then one night was last year. I was sleeping. My dad also refused to come to my wedding. I remember also, because in my culture, it's your dad that did a speech. So he had to speak in the wedding, but he refused to attend my wedding. friends of his also, they were also afraid to come and deliver a speech and on my wedding day. But they had to go and ask him permission to do that. But I told them, yeah, just do it. So my dad refused to come to my wedding. It was very tough. It was very tough for me. But that didn't spoil my wedding day. And then it was last year when I was sleeping, and then all of a sudden a SMS came through my phone. And I was sleeping and I just wake up and I found that it was my dad's SMS. Because my dad is a permanent resident here in South Africa. I'm still a refugee here in South Africa. So he's in a process of applying for citizenship. So he wanted to include me and my brother also, everyone, into the application. So he SMS'd me saying, I'm about to apply for citizenship. I want to include you. But we need to talk before that. And I was like, reading that SMS, I couldn't really believe that was my dad who sent me the SMS. And then now I just say, maybe I'm dreaming. And then I just sit down and then again. And the same, and then I phone my dad. FaceTime in 5 years that I talked to my dad. And then the following, I told my dad, let's do it the following day. So the following day I had to meet my dad. That was a very good, and then really it took me 5 years. And now the relationship was restored. But really, it wasn't about me. It's about God. Really, it took me 5 years, but I praise God that God restored the relationship between my dad and I. Thank you also for everyone who prayed for me.
Wow, that's amazing. Tani Riona.
Thank you. I've got my little book with me. Yes, for me as a Christian, prayer is one of the most wonderful privileges that we can have. Because this is a way that we can communicate with God through and have Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and He answers our prayers and He sees our requests. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. Psalm 65 verse 2 says, in one of the translations, God's name is hearer of prayer. And it's written, hearer is written with a capital letter. So please remember that. The biggest thing I ever had to trust God for was, as all of you know, for our daughter to have a baby. Many of you know about it, but I want to tell you, I want to give you the whole picture today of how God came through. She went through many difficulties and disappointments, and we all felt despondent at times. We prayed for years. As Emmy said, 5 years, we also had to pray for 5 years, and we had to hold on to God's promises. The wonderful thing about prayer is that you can have prayer partners. There's many people here that prayed with us. And, you know, they support you when you feel low. And it's wonderful to have people around you, that you can really trust. Trust, actually, with your life. Okay, right through this whole period, we had these close friends supporting us in prayer. And God gave us promises, and we constantly reminded God of them. And you know, there's many ladies that never has babies, but we just kept on, and we just said, God, we ask you that Yana will have a baby. And the one verse that God gave me in a psalm said that He will make the childless woman a happy mother, and I kept that in my heart. Then 2 years ago at the Awakening Shofar Conference, there was a lady, and everybody called her Tani Amanda. I suppose she's my age. And she talked about prayer. And you know what? Something happened in my spirit, and I just felt that she had to pray for Yana. And I asked God, if this is His will, He must allow this. And I went there, and I spoke to Tani Amanda, and she said, yes, she'll pray. And I found Jana. Jana was somewhere busy with a picnic, and she wasn't too keen because many people has prayed, and she just thought, you know, God's not coming through for her. And then she actually came. And then Tani Amanda prayed, and she said, Jana, you know what? Just relax. You are going to have a baby. And this baby is going to be a very happy, joyful little baby. And she's going to love music. And she's going to sing and dance before the Lord. Ek was nou nie van plan om te huil nie. A week later, Jana had a failed in vitro. Actually, no, just after the Tani Amanda prayed, she had to go for the in vitro, and guess what? It didn't work. And then she and Kuba said, this is it. But suppose they're not going to have children, they don't have money for the next in vitro, so it's done. And then about 2 months later, Jana and Kubis, visited our son and his wife in Joburg. And our daughter-in-law is a worship leader there at the big church. And she said, Jana, there's an Indian pastor and his wife in our church. And God gave them the gift to pray for childless couples. And will you like them to pray for you? And they said, okay, we've got nothing to lose. And you know, I just want to have to tell you this. Jana decided many years ago that if ever she would have a little girl, she will call her Lilla. And Lilla comes from Elizabeth. In any case, and when this Indian pastor prayed, he told Jana, and Jana said he had a lovely, soft spirit. And they also struggled with children, and they had two beautiful children, this Indian couple. Any case, and he told Jana and Kubis, without knowing the chosen name, he said, you know what, God shows me the name Elizabeth. And he said, and this child, will sing and dance before the Lord one day. And he prophesied over this unborn baby. 2 months later, Jana and Kubis were expecting a baby. And last year in April, Lilla was born. So God answered. Now I just want to say, you know, sometimes we ask, why does things happen like this? Why does God take so long to hear us? Why is there so much suffering? And you know, once again, I realize that God used our time of praying and waiting not only to develop our Christian character, but also to fulfill His purpose in our lives. And we must never forget that. And you know, I believe while we pray, God is working. So we must just trust God. Any case, I just have to stop with this, end off with this. You know, after all Jana's suffering and sadness, she was asked by the gynae at the infertility clinic and his wife, who was also a clinical psychologist, please to come and work at their clinic and help with, you know, just to counsel the parents that's in the same situation. Now, today, little Lilla is a very healthy, happy baby. She's really, a really very happy baby. She's always laughing and shouting. While Jana, her mother, can counsel and help the other young parents that goes through the same painful challenge. So I just want to say, we pray and God works in wonderful, mysterious ways.
Kom mee. Are you sure? Why not? Hoe lê nie nou nie? Okay. Well, Johan says he wants to keep his for next time, but obviously he shares Tani Rihanna's testimony 100%. Pietri, sal jy vir ons net gou een of twee tunes speel, en dan bid ons 'n bietjie voordat ons gaan. I think it's one thing in sharing scripture, which is also alive and well and cuts like a double-edged sword. It's great to talk about these things, and it's even great to read about it or read up about it. There's one quote. Where is it now? There's one quote that I had in store for a longer version of my sermon, and it's just the following. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer if only he can keep them from praying. Ryan, can you just put it up there? I think it's on the third slide. It's very easy. And it's not only reading about prayer, but it's also prayer sermons. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer or how many people attend sermons on prayer if only you can keep them from praying. And man, that's just my heart's cry. Guys, let nothing keep us from praying. Let nothing keep us from tasting and know that it's good. And these testimonies just stirred my heart again. And may we not come into a position where only when we're stuck up against the corner or with our backs up against the wall, that only then in reaction we start praying. How awesome and how powerful would it be if it's just a lifestyle that when the troubles come, when the things of the things that the temptations or the trials, as we've seen earlier, of life come, then we know who are we talking about, and we've got testimonies to stand on. And that's just the heart's cry. So let's just close our eyes in prayer and trust God to help us. Father God, we thank you for awesome testimonies. We thank you for Lila, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for my life that you saved, even though I did not deserve it. We thank you for, amongst the other two people that got saved, as Stephen prayed. We thank you, Lord, for Emmy and his father's relationship that restored. We thank you, God, that you're a God that knows these things, Lord, that know what we need, and you know the battles we face, Lord. Lord, we lift up similar situations amongst us and amongst those who can't be here that's part of our church. We lift up those situations. And we call on your name. We call on your Holy Spirit to help us. To take us into a place where we can pray. Where we can talk to you, Lord. Where we can fight these battles. Where there's an arm wrestle. Where there's a battle to be fought. That we can get onto your side. We can rule and reign with you, Lord. And we can see these testimonies. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We ask, Lord, that may this place be known as a house of prayer, Lord. May we be those who pray not because we need something, only because we need something, or because it's out of self-defense or self-security, Father God. But may we be a people that pray because we know you. May we be a people that pray because we love you. Maybe we are people that pray because we want to follow you. You alone can light that in our hearts, in Jesus' name, and that's what we pray for. Lord, I just, we started off five sermons ago, and we said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I know it's a never-ending thing, but my only question to you as a church is, do you want more? More of God? More of Him in prayer? Just raise your hand if you want more. If you believe there's a more, just raise your hand and let's just like little children, just give that to God. It's all we can do from our side. But we just lift up this church, we lift up our hands and we say, Lord, we want more. Teach us to pray, teach us to be a praying people, teach us to be praying families. And let your kingdom come and let your will be done. We love you. Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.